Anyway, one of the things I was going to talk about today is the fact that often when we think of spiritual life, it's almost like a self-improvement plan. How do I make a better me? And on one hand, we do want a better me. It's not like training shouldn't, the practice, being a good Buddha shouldn't make you a better me. But actually, you're going to get lost if you concentrate on being the better me, because you're not going to find liberation by trying to be perfect or not having problems or not doing that. That never will happen. You find liberation by letting go. And part of one of the things you're letting go of is is being so concerned with yourself. And trying to get everything right, trying to be this better person. Instead, you're just trying to concentrate on doing good and recognizing at times you won't, and that's the nature of things. A lot of training is just accepting limits, and part of the limits is limits on who we are, that we're not going to be good at everything. We're not going to be perfect. The extrovert's going to still be the extrovert. The introvert's going to be the introvert. Training won't change and make you into a different. The transformation of training isn't the transformation that it'll make a completely different you, but it'll allow you to let go of the things that are getting in the way of you finding peace and freedom, which isn't the same as being. Getting everything right, or being this amazing person, or whatever it is that you think you want to be. It doesn't mean we don't, but in a way, it's by concentrating instead of this place of personality and how we're doing, but concentrating on just letting things go so we can find this place of stillness and spaciousness that can embrace both our imperfections. The imperfections of everyone around us, because unfortunately, everybody else is imperfect too. And the imperfections of the world, because the world remains imperfect and will always remain imperfect, because the perfection is never going to be the case, because the nature of karma is always things that aren't perfect everywhere. And that's why, in a way, we're trying to do something which is different than the world is trying to let go of, willfully trying to go somewhere, be something, do something to somebody who can just be willing. You're doing things and being things, but you're trying to actually put your concentration on letting things go, accepting, and just dealing with things. It doesn't actually change necessarily your activities. Just changes how you relate to them. Just like training doesn't mean you actually don't improve. It just means you're not concentrating on that improvement. You're concentrating on letting go of the concerns about how you're doing improvement. That'll free you, because as long as you concentrate on how you're doing, you always should recognize you could do better. Just like the other day, I was just talking to someone and I'm more or less saying this to them when, a new person, and they just kind of said, well, kind of brought up something like, well, you would never have this problem. And I thought, actually, that's a problem I don't ever have. I said, but I can list all the problems I still have. It's just, yes, if I look at it in terms of person of things, yeah, some things, don't come up to me as problems anymore. Not everything is, but on the other hand, I still. Lots of other things still come up as problems. And much of life calls for our intention. We need to do this, organize this, deal with this. And it's not like we're not trying to deal with all these factors, but we're trying to keep a sense of spaciousness that what really matters isn't exactly what I'm doing. It's not the important thing. Actually, spiritually, what I'm doing is more important, which is letting things go and just realizing I can accept it, deal my best with it, because why not? It's like almost like if you're cooking dinner, you want to make it taste good. No deep, profound meaning. But on the other hand, there's no purpose in not making it as good as you can. It's like I don't want to burn my dinner. Wow, revelation. You know, just like I don't want to hurt someone else. Like, I don't, you know, I don't usually have to think about that. Yes, I don't want to hurt someone else. Profound. I'm so good, Kinray. It's like seeing the kind of letting go of things so we can actually see things for what they are and use the teaching as a way, as a prism to see ways of letting things go and pointing us to what we need to do. And in a way, it's taking the teaching to heart, like take a teaching like no self. Sometimes people can make it, well, something's wrong with me if I see a self, or if I have a self, or all the rest. While it's more or less just taking the teaching to heart that nothing is fundamentally me or mine. Like, just think of your possessions. They all, you think they're yours, but are they yours really? Just a convention between you and others. And you won't be able to keep them. Just like one of the things that always is kind of sobering is when we deal with somebody dies and you have to deal with their stuff. And you even have to get rid of all this stuff that meant a lot to them. Just like I have some stuff from my parents that I don't even want, but it meant something to my parents. Like this little tray thing they always had on their dresser my whole life, and it's now on my altar, but it doesn't even, it just means something to me because it meant something clearly to them. But in the end, it all washes away. And if I go, it'll probably end up in the, you know, goodwill, the trash somewhere else. Most of us wouldn't even know, why would I want this little doodad? Why we take the teaching to heart, because it helps us let things go. Nothing is me and nothing is mine. Meaning my good actions and bad actions aren't. They're just passing conditions that I did rather than possessing them. They're just like, if I'm good, does that mean, well, tomorrow when I'm bad, what does that mean? You treat someone well and then you get irritated with them. Which is you? Well, on one hand, they're both you, but on the other hand, neither are you, because tomorrow you'll be a different you. And all you can do is try to be the you that's not getting irritated with them rather than being the you that's getting irritated and realizing neither of them are fundamentally you. You know, just like seeing. And it's part of it is to take these teachings to heart. That's the real effort. So when we confront something, we can actually remind ourselves, nothing is me and nothing is mine. Take that to heart. Suffer, you can actually, you know, something I use a lot. When I suffer, whenever anything is bothering me, I'm being bothered by wrong view. I'm not suffering from what's going on in the world or how people treat me. I'm suffering from looking at it wrongly. And that helps us. Do I always feel that way? No, often I feel not that way, but I take the teaching to heart that that's what reality is. And that's why, in a way, when we met, we all just meditated here, and probably some of you out there, you know, on Zoom. And one of the things is you're learning to meditate is learning not to react to the unpleasant feelings and thoughts that just pass through your mind while you're meditating, trying not to respond to the restlessness, the boredom, the fact that I'm worried about something or I'm dwelling on something, all those things. And in a way, this is the awakening, the capacity to be open to the unpleasant. And instead of reacting to it, just letting it pass through us and making it nothing me and nothing is mine. And also taking the teaching to heart of Nietzsche, impermanence, changeableness. The fact that even if you don't like it, it'll change. If you do like it, it'll change. If you're clinging to it, it'll change. Somebody was devastated by losing somebody. And it was like, you can always lose somebody. This is the need. This we take to heart. That if you're with somebody, they're impermanent. It's an obvious truth, but we help ourselves by taking it to heart and trying to see life through those eyes. That it's a gift that they're here and they won't always be. If you have children, they still might not be here. One of the sad things is losing children, but actually one Most of us would like to, probably if I ask you, you would like to live a long time. Well, it means there's a good chance you might outlive your children if you live long enough. That's the nature of karma. If you, when you talk to people who are 100, often they've outlived children. So should I die early? But you just accept that this is the nature of things. When you realize both you and them are impermanent, it's just the nature of things. They may go before you do. It always was the case, but you're increasing it by your doing it. And in a way, I was reading something, some notes I have here, and it's by a Theravadan monk who I met and liked when I met him briefly at one of these conference meetings of Buddhist monks. But he said, a lot of training shouldn't be thought of something as intellectual, but rather as a craft, as a tool that we're learning how to use. The same way as if you learn something, you get good at it and better the more you practice it. And it's like the more you practice seeing things like nothing is me and nothing is mine, it becomes a practice. It starts permeating yourself. You get better at it. And most of you have been practicing for a while. You can think of it. Some of it you're better at now than you were before. If you're not better at anything, come talk to me. Something is wrong if you've been doing this a long time and things are worse. And sometimes I've met people who actually aren't making progress. And sometimes they actually do have a clear wrong view of some things. You know, they'll talk to me and I'll say, how have you looked at it this way all this time? Just looked at things in a way that are going to make you not make progress because you're actually looking at it in a way that's going to increase delusion rather than decrease it. And there's ways you can look at it. If you look at it, for instance, when people want to be perfect, and that's a common one, they're going to keep suffering a lot in training and having huge problems because no matter what they do, they keep making a mess of things. And that's because as long as we live, we keep making a mess of things too. We get a lot of things right, but we're always getting a lot of things wrong. And if that's a problem, well, you're going to keep, you may even lose your faith in the practice after a while and lose faith in others because they think, I mean, I've met people who are, I mean, you mean monks lose their temper, monks make mistakes. I met monks who say that. And I thought, you've been living like at Shasta Abbey. Who are these people? What is your expectation when, if you looked around, this has always been the case. Everyone's has some difficulties. No one is not frequently getting a lot of things wrong. And they say, but you mean if they frequently get things wrong, is this even working? And that's, again, wrong view. You're not actually looking at it correctly. Because if you look at it correctly, you'll see a lot of ways they're doing well. Same way as I can say, wow, I'm doing well with this, but I can think of the things I'm not doing so well with. That's the nature of a koan. You can cling to what you're doing well at and say, wow, I'm really this or that. This doesn't bother me. I'm generous. I'm this, I'm that. But there'll be ways that you're not. And that's why a lot of the training comes when something unpleasant arises in our life. And in all our lives, the unpleasant keeps happening. It can be at work. It can be with family. It can be looking at the news. It can be, you know, just dealing with someone, dealing with a bureaucracy. It's like, I even kind of smile because sometimes by having a sense of humor about things, I've managed a number of times to get people on these, where you're on a line and it takes forever to get to a human and you get to the human and you talk to them. And somehow by having a sense of humor about it, I can have us both laughing. And I think because there's an absurdity about all of this. And I know the person's just, despite this company driving this bureaucracy, whatever it is, being very irritating because often hard to deal with, but it usually has nothing to do with the person you're talking to. They're just doing their job. They're not purposely making it like, oh, you have to go through these hoops or we can't help you or we're funneling you to someone else or all these things. Just like recently, you know, I had it with just dealing with the property we were left at Alameda, just changing some accounts over and just like, Getting them on what I'd like to have them on auto pay so I don't have to think about them. And but sometimes you just hit this loop where the bureaucracy is not working, and just realizing it's okay and it's fine, and it's you can laugh at the absurdity of the fact that people are stuck with difficult conditions, and a lot of these jobs are difficult conditions. At times I'm sure they're dealing with people who are not pleased with the fact that the bureaucracy is making life difficult. Just like I have even a website I like, which I use, which is gethuman.com. It's how you can get call up places and get it and talk to someone. Because often, if you try, you can never get none of the choices ever give you. Keep going through loops and going through the menus, and you go through one menu, another menu, another menu, and you never get to where can I talk to someone? Some internet bodhisattva thought. Let's make a site where it gives you how do you and gives you all the how you do it. When you get to the menu, do this, do that, and you end up with a human or call this number that they don't list. So I've used it a few times. It's very, and I was very grateful. And but actually, the more you train, the more you can take the teaching to heart, the more you can find it. A lot of these things don't have to get to you. And you don't even know, if something really doesn't get to you, you don't even notice it. And that's why you often don't notice your progress, but you notice your lack of progress. Because when something doesn't bother you don't really notice it. If you just handle it, don't make a big deal out of it, or patient with something, you don't really go home and dwell on, wow, did well. It's with it. But training will actually help you give you a strength of mind that allows you to take more of the teaching to heart and start dissolving some of these obstacles. And most of the obstacles aren't in our lives aren't big. It's little irritations, little greeds, little passions, little selfishness, little this, little that. The big things are often glaring, and in a way, we deal with them sometimes when they're big. It's often why I find people are surprised they dealt with big problems better than small problems, because big problems almost require us to really apply to kind of think, oh, this is where I need to apply the Dharma. Well, the little annoyances we often just don't apply, but the more you train, the more you can start applying it. Get more faith and trust in the practice. Faith and trust that our own lack of importance is liberating, feels good. Like selflessness feels good. Self-centeredness feels bad. We think of suffering. Usually there's a self-centered aspect to it. Narrowness of your heart, a lack of spaciousness. And the more you can take the Dharma to heart, the more you can see it's just changeableness. The more you can realize tomorrow I'll feel different, even though I don't feel it now. Watching something on TV recently, and one of the characters is has a painful romantic breakup, and she says, "I know this will pass, but it definitely doesn't feel like it ever will." And that's the nature of delusion. When you're in a situation, you just don't feel, you don't see the ephemeral, the changeableness, the ephemeral nature. The fact that nothing is me and nothing is mine, I won't hold on to this feeling. It's going to be like a dream in a short time. In a way, you can't, if you put your trust like in personality and like having the right emotions, having the right personality, being the right person, you're going to get disillusioned and hurt because you're not going to be able, you can't trust your emotions because you don't control them. I hate something, I can't make myself say, no, I like it. Somebody bothers me, I can't say, oh, I shouldn't feel this because I didn't choose to feel it. It just came up. Desires come up. Something's attractive. It's like I can't say, wow, I wasn't attracted to something or repulsed by something that I shouldn't be repulsed by. But on the other hand, you can trust that when you sit still with it and try to be still and open to it and just witness it, just see it, that you can actually start realizing it's not binding you. It's just, you can start seeing the changeable nature of it and that it's not, there's no substance to it. You don't have to feel like, you don't have to make yourself like or something or feel something. You just have to kind of notice it and realize it. Trust that it doesn't matter. Nothing is me and nothing is mine. When that starts unraveling the part of us that wants to be in control, that wants to do it, rather than realizing whatever passes, almost that image I like using in Buddhism, in the mirror of our minds and hearts. Everything's going to reflect on it, but we don't have to get caught up on it. It's going to just disappear in that mirror, just like our whole lives are going to disappear. And part of it is almost using the image, instead of filling ourselves with our thoughts and all the rest of it, is trying more to be still, which means we're listening to the karma. We're listening to it. We're listening to what thoughts are in our minds, to what our internal dialogue is. And instead of trying to generate something, we're just trying to listen and witness it and just realize, oh, that's my voice of desire. That's me getting caught up in something, and listening to others and not trying to judge or doing anything, just being open to what karma's arising in them, to the voice of their karma. You know, when we're listening to our fears and desires, our hopes and expectations, disappointments, to how we want things to be, and just witnessing it and just seeing, oh, interesting stuff. I really care about this. This really bothers me. That's a teaching for me. How do I apply nothing is me and nothing is mine to that? How do I just see it and try not to possess it? You know, and in that silence and space allows us to feel things and be open to the fact that there's pain, vulnerability, loss, and there's not a problem. It's just going to appear and disappear like a dream. And we don't have to do anything about it. We just have to be open and let it appear and disappear. And it's almost like at a funeral where after somebody dies, you can both have the grief for them, and then everybody can start laughing about them and sharing stories about them and kind of feeling, you know, and having a different emotion come where you just kind of appreciate the person, and you're, instead of clinging at that moment to the loss, you're remembering how funny they could be or their quirks and all the rest. Part of training is having compassion for the fact that we're hardwired as sentient beings to want the pleasant, the enjoyable, and push away the unpleasant and the painful. I mean, this is functional wiring to have that. But in a way, we don't have to be driven by it. It's giving us useful information. If something's painful, we should, okay, what's going on here? If something's enjoyable, what's going on here? It's both are giving us a teaching about ourselves, but we don't have to let it control us. The image I always like of being controlled by that is Homer Simpson is always blind to everything. Blind selfishness, blind greed, blind, you know, that's the whole point of the show. Apparently when they first started, they made him an angry character, but in a very short time they stopped dealing with the anger and just made him blind. Everything, like donut, selfishness. Just like, you know, I remember something's happening where he's dying. He looks like he may be dying. And he goes, what kind of world is it that a father could die before his children? and it's just made that kind of blind, this kind of almost innocent, you know, because in a way in the show, he's usually, I haven't watched Simpsons forever, but, you know, I stopped, but I had a streak where I did watch them. And, but just like, way of portraying kind of an innocent greed, hate, and delusion, because usually he's never nasty. He's just blindly everything. And then because a lot of training touches onto a deeper sense that we can find in our hearts a stillness and a peace that can embrace both the good and the bad in our life, the painful and unpainful, the likes and the dislike, and realize we're not dependent upon it. And realize that peace that's not dependent upon these conditions, because that's really what liberation is in Buddhism, what enlightenment is. Because it'll never be that we get the conditions that we want or that we're perfect, which is a condition we want. It's a realizing we're not being bound by those conditions. And the more we do it in little ways. You're not liberating yourself by, you're liberating yourself by each little act that does it right is liberating just a little piece of karma. I didn't get annoyed here. I was more patient here. I didn't eat that extra cookie. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I decided to put effort into something, you know, that I'm having trouble putting effort into. Just like you feel sometimes liberated when you just do something that you've been putting off doing, feeling of cleanness about it because it was haunting you a little bit that you didn't get to something and just feels, oh, don't have to think about that anymore. That feels good, you know, and you don't have to think about yourself so much. That feels good. Because that's one of the main things we want to learn. I don't have to be, I can let go of some of my self-absorption. Don't worry, there'll be plenty left. It's not like, it can seem like it's a bottomless, like, you know, I have unlimited self-absorption. And actually, it's not true. It's just can seem that way. But you can let go of it and not have it in aspects of yourself.